talking this morning with candidate Tim Harris. And Tim joining me by phone. Tim, thanks for calling in today.
Oh, Charlie, it's such a pleasure to be on your show and to talk to your listeners. This is a great time for Oklahomans to exercise their freedom and their ability to vote and allow their feelings and their directions for the state and this country to be heard. We have 20 days until there's a primary election. Traditionally, primaries are not very well attended by the electorate, and I'm here to encourage people that this is very, very important for our state and for our nation, and to get involved and exercise your right to vote. In other countries, people are walking miles to cast their ballot, and sometimes I think it's taken for granted. We cannot do that. There's too much at stake. So June 26th is the primary, and hopefully the people of the 1st District will look at my background and consider me as their next congressman.
And looking at your background, and I'm just going to start it off by saying so many people will recognize your name or your face as a newsmaker in the Tulsa area because you're a former district attorney. That's not your only job, but I think that's probably where many people will identify you from. And to me, that says, okay, you have some experience in enforcing the law, but now you want to get that experience to help write the law.
Well, you know, I, as district attorney, had to run in a political forum, but I'm not a politician. I'm a public servant, and people understand the difference. I'm not there to feather my own nest. I'm there to speak on behalf of the people of the 1st District. I think, Charlie, what differentiates me from the rest of the worthy candidates is I'm trusted, right? I've been tested before the public. Accountability and answerability to the people is something that they can rely upon. They know I'm steady. They know who I am. And I have a 16-year record that they can depend upon, where hopefully they know that I led by example with a servant's heart. I'm doing this because of my heart. I mean, I could retire and I could teach at ORU and at Oklahoma Wesleyan, and I did that after I left the DA's office. But, Charlie, there's too much going on in this nation where I think we're in trouble. America is in trouble. Our life, our liberty, our pursuit of happiness, unalienable rights given to us by a creator, I believe are being attacked and are in jeopardy. America needs someone to fight for her, and I think I'm qualified. I think I'm trained, and I'm ready to take up that fight from day one. I think what's different about me is I have a servant's heart, but I'm a fighter. I fought for people's public safety for 16 years as a public servant, and now it's time to fight for our constitutional rights and to right the ship, this nation that I love so very, very much. It's given me all of my opportunities to go to law school, to raise my family in a free state and a free nation. And yet so many of the things that have been taken for granted, our freedom of speech, our freedom to practice, our religion in the marketplace, is being challenged. And we just saw the Jack Phillips case that the Supreme Court came down with a very narrow ruling, but thank God they came down with the ruling that they did, that government agencies like the Colorado Human Rights Commission has to act in a neutral way to all people, and that includes those people of faith, of which I am one. I don't wear my faith on my sleeve, but my faith is my moral compass. It's what directs me in my life. It's what directs me as a husband and a father to my children. It's what buries those values that I think make this country the greatest and the freest nation in the world. And there is absolute truth. And so without absolute truth, then what is the standard? And I believe there is absolute truth in God's holy word, and that will always be the litmus test for the way I make decisions. But again, you know, I'm not running only because of my faith. I'm running that my faith is my foundation and that my heart is of service. And I proved that to the people of Tulsa County. And now I want to prove that to the people of the 1st District, that they can rely on someone steady that will never embarrass them, that won't sell out to special interests. I cannot be bought. I will remain independent, and I will be their voice, because in a republic like we have, in a constitutional republic, we hire through elections people to be the voice from the different states and the different districts in the state to carry forward what's important to Washington at a national level from Oklahoma. And that's what I think my whole career has prepared me to do, Charlie. It's kind of like a crossroads in life. And I now realize that all the maturing and the experience that I got in public service has prepared me for a time such as this, that I can represent the people in a way differently from a policy standpoint of view. Rather than applying the law, I want to go up there and make sure that the laws that are being applied are really fair, are constitutionally based, and will benefit the people not only in the short term but in the long term. And with runaway budgets and spending and attacks to free speech and our ability to practice our religion in the marketplace, attacks on our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms, there is so much at stake that that the people of the First District care about. I think I know what their values are, and I will listen to them. I'm a good listener. I will listen and carry back the mandate from the people from the First District of Oklahoma, and hopefully, because I believe we are the heartland, the kinds of messages that I carry back to Washington will resonate with all Americans, because I believe those are the foundations that make us the freest country on the face of the globe and the envy of the rest of the world.
Well, we explored several of those issues at a recent forum where you and other First District candidates were all across the same set of tables facing an audience. One of those issues that we talked about at the time, and you touched on it already, as a public servant, as a county or district person, you had to administer a budget. And certainly one of the major functions of the legislature is to pass and set a budget, which it sets the priorities for many, if not most, of the rest of the federal government. And we've only passed a budget four times on time since 1974. Tim Harris, how do you, as a First District candidate, want to pass a budget?
These continuing resolutions are kicking the can down the road. And like this last omnibus bill that we passed, I really believe that military spending, to modernize our military and to make sure that we are a strength in the world, because as so the United States goes, so does the rest of the world. And for the last 8 years, I truly believe that our allies didn't trust us and our enemies didn't fear us. So that is changing, and I support President Trump in building up the military, because just like Ronald Reagan, you know, peace through strength. And so as we prioritize how we're going to spend our money, we have to rein in, Charlie, this runaway spending. It's like I live on a budget at home. If I don't have the money, my wife and I look at it and we prioritize how we're going to spend our money. That's the exact same thing that the House that I pray that I'll be a member of has the responsibility to do. We have the power of the purse. And so one of the things that I hope under our Congressional Accountability Act is to rein in all of these federal agencies that are almost like a fourth arm of government that aren't elected. They're appointed. We've given them rulemaking power, and yet their budgets just keep climbing and climbing and climbing. I think one of the things, not only in the state of Oklahoma, but in a budget, is zero-based budgeting. And what I mean by that is each of the agencies have to come in and justify the money that they're spending for goods and services, or for health insurance, or for salaries, or for the numbers of employees that they have, and all the things that they have to operate. You know, one of the things that I will be advocating that I haven't heard any other candidate advocate, and that is this. Let's freeze the budgets of all these federal agencies. Maybe for a year. I'd like to do it for longer than that. But you know what? If we froze everything and said, you're not going to get any more than you got last year, except for our military, I think we have to have an exception to make sure that the sovereignty and the freedom of our nation can always be supported, but everything else is going to be frozen. I think that would be an eye-opener to people and say, hey, you know, the old adage of, hey, we're going to keep asking for more and more and more and more has got to stop, because look at where it's put us. I can't even imagine $22 trillion. When I try and put my arms around how much money that is, it's absolutely overwhelming. And yet, little bit by little bit, I think we have to change the mindset of government and how we spend people's money. I mean, let's not forget this. The government has no money except for the money that the people give it. And in the Declaration of Independence, you know, we are a country that is raised on governance by the people, for the people, and of the people. And so we give them, through our taxation, money to run this country, and I think federally, national security and immigration are two things that are necessary for a federal government to be involved, to keep their families safe and to know who's coming in. That's another area that we need to look at that I think helps us save money, is we have all these people that are in the United States that are not citizens, that are living off the doles and the tax dollars of hardworking Americans. That has got to be stirred. That has got to be severed. We have to cut the ties that draw illegals into our country, because they come here and they get a free lunch. They get free medical care. They get free education. You know, the American dream is the greatest dream on the face of the globe, but you can't come in here and suck us absolutely dry without giving anything back. And so those are the kind of entitlement programs that we need to look at and begin to slash to save money from the hardworking Americans that are paying their tax dollars to support these programs. And one of the things that I will certainly ask for is Medicaid. Let's go in and get all these folks off the rolls that are able-bodied working Americans. Get them off Medicaid. I mean, I think Arkansas did that, and there was over 4,000 people that immediately got off the rolls, and I think they had $800 million savings in Medicaid because people were in prison or they were double-dipping living in other states. And so if we just look at how we're spending our money and spend some time, we will be able to create a budget that gets us off this runaway spending and gets us back prioritizing the spending our money, in which I will support the president. He is now negotiating deals with China and with the rest of the world that are more fair to us and look at the interest of the nation. I think before that, the United States went in these negotiations and kind of with a globalist mindset, you know, what's good for the world, where all these other countries came in and said, well, hey, you know, what's good for us? I think the change of the mindset will also save us money, because one of the things the president is recommending is that from a national security standpoint of view, that all these allies that live under the umbrella of our national security and our international security because of our military strength have to come up and pay their fair share.
Absolutely.
And so those are the kinds of ideas that I think will save us money and create a budget that will get us back in line with what the American people expect of their elected officials to take care of when they go to Washington.
20 days till election time. Tim Harris, your website, and I know people can get really a lot of good information from there.
You bet. VoteTimHarris.com. It's what I need people to do. On June 26th is the primary. Get your family and friends out. I won't let you down. You know I'm trusted. You know I've been tested. Steady and reliability. I really believe that this whole election comes down to one word, and that is who you can trust to send there to be the voice. VoteTimHarris.com. Also my website, VoteTimHarris. You can learn all about me and all the stances on the issues that challenge America. My heart is to be a voice for the people. I will do that without any personal intentions of trying to feather my nest or get reelected. I will go there to be a voice of the people of the First District, to protect the American dream for our children, for our grandchildren, and you can learn more about me at VoteTimHarris.com.
Tim, thank you very much for your time. Again, the election is June 26th, 20 days from now. And again, you can request that absentee ballot if you are not going to be able to make it to the polls on Election Day. Elections.ok.gov. News on the way from CBS. Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918 336